This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 25th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, an art exhibit that combines mathematics and artwork, and a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. Indiana State Police say they've received dozens of tips about Sunday's deadly highway shootings that left one person dead and another wounded. The shootings happened about 100 miles apart. Two pickup trucks were shot at on Interstate 65, 50 miles south of Indianapolis. One man was killed and another person wounded. About 2 hours later, someone opened fire on a tractor trailer and an SUV. No one was injured in that attack. Investigators, including FBI agents, are now combing overpasses and other areas for clues. Authorities consider the shootings linked for now. Two tips said more shootings could occur in southern and northeastern Indiana, but it's unclear if the warnings are valid. For the second Monday night in a row, a proposed Citizens Police Review Board was the topic of an Urbana City Council public hearing last night. Council members heard dozens of comments about the proposal to set up an independent panel to hear complaints about police misconduct. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Opponents of the Citizens Review Board dominated at last week's hearing. Last night, the supporters were in the majority. Ricky Baldwin of the Champaign County Coalition for Citizen Police Review said a Citizens Review Board would be an avenue for people afraid to file complaints about police misconduct through regular channels.
There will always be people who are reluctant to come forward if there's only the internal process in the police department. No matter how fair and open that is, there'll be the perception that it's biased or that it's a little bit intimidating for some people.
Meanwhile, Tony Graham, while in the minority last night, echoed those opponents who had spoken out last week. He said a citizens' review board would hamper vital police work.
I would be opposed to anything that in my mind would make the job of our police department more difficult.
Mayor Laurel Pressing says city council discussion of the issue won't begin until after a new contract is reached with police officers. She says residents can continue to comment on the Citizens Review Board proposal at any Urbana City Council meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Officials with Ameren say most people in the St. Louis metro area, still without electricity, should have their power back on by tonight. Last week's storms left well over 500,000 households in the dark, and many people wondering when their power would be back on. As of last night, 171,000 were still out. Ameren Vice President Richard Marks says with minor outages, it's easy to estimate when power will be restored. But he says with a problem this big, the usual formula doesn't work.
In a storm like this, that algorithm is basically useless because it's multiplied by the 600,000 times of customers that you have on, so it throws the numbers off.
However, linemen say new technology is helping them pinpoint trouble spots. Some areas have automated metering. Those meters stop sending signals when there's no power. And technicians can check a central database to see who's still in the dark. Republican lawmakers say over $500 million is unaccounted for in Illinois' budget. State Representative Ron Stevens of Greenville says the state's financial documents are too vague.
The General Assembly passed a budget of $59 billion of the taxpayers' dollars, the taxpayers' money. We believe they have a right to know the intentions of every dollar that they have contributed to that end. $59 billion is a lot of money. $500 million of it. It's absolutely, we just don't know. It's just out there.
Stevens says GOP legislators sent requests months ago to the governor's office asking for more specifics. For instance, they want to know details on what will be paid for with the $300 million marked for grants to local governments for public infrastructure. But Stevens says the governor ignored that request. He says that forced him and a Republican state senator into filing a legal request for answers under the Freedom of Information Act yesterday. The governor's spokeswoman, Becky Carroll, says the Republicans' complaints are a diversionary tactic. She says they waited to complain until days after Democratic Governor Rob Blagojevich used his executive power to put $5 million from the budget into funding stem cell research. Carroll says the budget is a public document. She says the state spending plan was reviewed by legislative committees and voted for by the General Assembly. Republicans point out that the budget was approved without a single vote from a member of their party. When Jewel Food Stores and Osco Pharmacies donated $10,000 to a gun buyback initiative in Chicago, it raised the ire of the Illinois State Rifle Association. As Amanda Vinicky explains, the group is retaliating by asking its members not to shop at the stores through July.
Spokeswoman Lori Sanders says this spring, when the Chicago Police Department asked suburban-based Jewel Osco to help get illegal handguns off the city streets, it obliged with a $10,000 donation. She says the grocery store and pharmacy chain got involved with the gun buyback to make the streets safer.
This whole initiative was predicated on the fact that in one 10-day period in Chicago, a 16-year-old girl was shot and killed. The second child was an 11-year-old child who was shot during her own surprise birthday party.
But Richard Pearson, head of the Illinois State Rifle Association, says if the stores wanted to help, they should have given money to his organization.
We do firearm safety training constantly. If you want to give your money to somebody, why don't you give it to an organization with a long track record of it for 103 years.
Pearson says he doesn't know how many Rifle Association members are boycotting Jewel and Osco, but he believes there are hundreds. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. CalculArt is an art exhibit with a range of media challenging the surprisingly fine line between math and artwork. After tiptoeing through two silent sculpture galleries at the Krannert Art Museum of the University of Illinois, visitors arrive at the electronic gallery. The room buzzes with mechanical hum. It looks as though someone couldn't decide whether to set up an art gallery or a computer lab. The usual blocky white pedestals are there, but many feature flat-screen monitors playing videos of gyrating colorful objects. The electronic gallery currently features CalculArt, an exhibit where art and mathematics meet. Taking up one-third of the room is the canvas, a three-sided display of floor-to-ceiling screens. Visitors wear 3D goggles and watch as vibrant twisting knots and shapes appear to fly towards them. They can also manipulate the image with a device similar to a video game controller. A computer station also allows viewers to choose a canvas scheme. The 11 choices range from a virtual roller coaster ride to a simple yellow ribbon on a black background. Some even feature soundtracks, like this one from the Atlantis scheme, which features dolphin sounds. Rose Marshak, technology curator, says the underwater application is a favorite of children.
They'll see fish swimming all around them, and I've had 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds in here screaming and going crazy trying to catch the fish floating around them.
The exhibit also contains traditional sculpture, but even the traditional sculpture is mathematically based. Hank Kazmarski is director of the Integrated Systems Lab of the Beckman Institute. The cutting-edge interdisciplinary research facility is responsible for much of the gallery's technology. Kazmarski says that although the virtual reality canvas is an important piece, the whole room is an historical timeline of mathematical art.
In one corner, we have some sculpture that was carved in the 30s. It's really Art Deco mathematical art, and that's in a display case behind you. And we have 3D wall hangings that are called skullograms. That are some of the first 3D objects that were made that didn't require stereo glasses.
Artist Jonas Downey's contribution is a computer program that acts as a stream of conscious thesaurus. It produces a continuous series of synonyms on a screen. One 16-word chain we watch begins with the word organizer and ends with disjoin. I ask Downey how this piece constitutes math or art.
It uses the kind of root definition of the term implies, which is a mathematical term, to mean things that are synonymous, basically. And then it uses a mathematical equation to go through and pick words.
The computer program is housed in a laser-cut black lucite casing that Downey also crafted, which he says gives it its artistic element. Math and art may seem like juxtaposing forces. Math is defined, adherent to a rigid set of rules. Art is not. The combination may seem impossible, But Downey says to him, it makes perfect sense.
I've always looked at art as a way of decoding things that we normally see or bringing up ideas that we didn't understand. And I look at math kind of in the same way. It's a way to understand things. So I feel like they're actually kind of naturally connected.
The CalculArt exhibit is the first in the newly created electronic gallery. Kazmarski says the gallery brings products from the Beckman Institute out into the real world. Kazmarski says the artists that produce pieces for the sake of research should have their work displayed.
The people at the Beckman publish, and then once they've put their words on paper, they're done. But that's not true of the artists. They actually want to present their artwork in a space where people can come in and see it, and people can't go into the basement of the Beckman.
He says the challenge wasn't the equipment, but in making the room artist-friendly. Marshak says they don't expect people to behave in this gallery like they would in a typical subdued art space.
There's been varying degrees of euphoria, I think. I mean, younger kids actually start screaming in here, and then parents say, hey, quiet down, it's an art museum. And I go, no, scream, it's an art museum.
The CalculArt exhibit will close July 30th. The Krenner Art Museum is located on the U of I campus in Champaign. Visit www.kam.uiuc.edu for more information. And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s, south winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s, south winds around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s, south winds around 10 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 25th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.